This week on Zen and Not Zen, Pro Time Edition.
Unrelated, I heard about putting a fucking peep in a s'more, replacing a peep,
I can't do peep.
As the marshmallow in a s'more.
Best tangent ever.
I'm going to fucking totally do that.
Yeah.
My grandmother kept them for far too long. And so when I was a kid, I would always like grab one because it's like candy or whatever.
Oh,
but it was always stale as fuck.
Oh, see, that's my dad's wheelhouse.
The
my dad buys peeps, as shit you know. Well, my dad's type 1 diabetic. So like having candy stashed in the house, that's just what.
Yeah,
that's just what you have to do, honestly.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah,
nothing will bring you back from a fucking diabetic spiral and a peep. Fucking peep. Jesus.
No, but literally buys them, opens them, and then puts them in the fucking like pantries. Like he had to quote season his peeps. It
really?
Is so fucking funny. Yeah, because they're really soft when they're fresh.
So
yeah.
You gotta have that stale.
Yeah,
right?
And he likes the stale.
He likes that chew.
Wow. It's like a meringue almost when you let him sit out long enough, you know what I mean?
A meringue.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it's like a high class treat now.
My grandmother used to buy peeps and she would leave them out long. I'm like, oh, is she describing stale peeps? From my dad, you're like, you could have fucking mailed those up to my dad and he would have paid a premium.
Bro time.
Bro time.
Bro time.
Yeah.
I personally really enjoyed ecstasy when it was called ecstasy.
I have never successfully had an ecstasy trip. I took some, I think, when I was like 19 and nothing happened. And so I think I got a dud. And then after that, I was like, I don't want to try again.
Well, I honestly was still in high school. I was like I think I was a sophomore and I thought it was a very mild, I thought it was going to be a very mild thing. And I'm like, oh no, this is something completely different.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine does MDMA therapy in LA, and I really want to try it.
Yeah. Mm. And that's the interesting thing about this now is like, you know, what used to be a drug is now a medicine.
Right.
You know, and it's all the dosage. That's
where I kind of...
Especially after that documentary I watched on Netflix, the How to Change Your Mind documentary, where they did that whole one on MDMA, and I was like... Right.
Well, somebody had asked me. I have a friend that runs a clinic down in Renton called New Wave Medicine, and they do like different types of therapies, ketamine therapies, MDMA, stuff like that. And I was talking to the doctor, and she was asking me. She's like, "So, have you ever done ketamine therapy?" I'm like, "I've done Special K.
Yeah,
I've not done ketamine
therapy.
I've done Special K. I've done ketamine off the backseat of a toilet many times.
My friend does it here. There's a ketamine therapy in
the
Seattle.
Found the K-hole."
But it's a really great opportunity to be guided through an experience so that you don't disassociate, but you're able to look at your traumas or whatever you're trying to approach for that therapy in different ways. You know, and same thing with MDMA. You know, it's like, you know, if you can, ingest MDMA and get that euphoric feeling and then have your trauma be presented in a different way, then your mind re-remembers it in a different way, which is less traumatic, which proves to show you that you can learn the lesson of the trauma, which is only yours to learn, right? Nobody can tell you that lesson because you've got to understand why it happened to you. It doesn't justify it by any means, right? But it gives you that layer to re-remember it in a different way.
And perspective
on
it.
If you could do that and listen to some doof music, why not?
You know what I've been really doing lately? I've been trying to differ my meditations. I've been meditating for like over a decade now, you know, done like really intense meditations. I do medicine meditations, like all kinds of shit. But I've started meditating to Tool.
Really?
And listening to like 46 and 2, which is a very, very beautiful song.
Well,
like,
you've heard a lot. So it's like that's like hearing not quite Thriller, but you know what I'm saying? It's like Enter Sandman.
So here's my thing with Tool. Like, I didn't get into Tool until maybe 2012, 2014. Right?
2000
so I
was late.
Late. I was
2008.
Late, right? I was more into the 90s hip-hop and doing all that shit, right?
Yeah.
But I was, you know, ancillarily appreciated Tool, but I finally got into Tool. My brother got me into it, you know, and I started going through the catalog, and I really enjoyed it. And I tied myself to, you know, a few songs and, like, the emotions I felt and things like that, but never really listened to the lyrical content because I couldn't really understand it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was so overtaken by, like, all the different beats
Don't publish their lyrics, too.
Right, you know? Yeah. And so I've been listening to different types of hip hop and meditations for a little while now. And I love the lyrical content. It makes me think, you know, I'll tie myself to certain phrases and shit. But Jambi was the first Tool song I meditated to. And just that rhythmic...
Just listening like, just to fucking Tool really to meditate. Loud too, that's fucking you know? And nuts, it's interesting.
Feeling the vibration in your whole Jesus body. Fuck.
But 46 and 2, like, that is such a song. You know, the song is about, you know, evolving, right? You're evolving to a 46 chromosome human being with you know, two separate types.
Fuck,
right?
I don't even know what any of this shit's about. So I'm just like, really? I mean, 44
chromosomes, right? 46 and 2, the concept of 46 and 2 is the evolution to 46 chromosomes, right? And so that's basically what the song's about. You know, it's shedding your shadow, my shadow, I'm stepping out of my shadow, I'm coming to, you know, so like change is coming through, now it's my time. So I'm facing my shadow, I'm not gonna deal with this shit anymore, I'm gonna step past it, yeah. Right? Listen to my muscle memory, contemplate what I've been clinging to, right? It's like what your subconscious has just been programmed to do. Are you aware of the shit that you're doing, or are you just doing the thing?
Can we take a step back real quick and just see that Adam is on a podcast dissecting fucking Tool lyrics? Like, I don't even think
the pinnacle.
Yeah, fuck, dude. I don't even think I had these conversations in high school on ecstasy listening to the shit. I don't think we were like, my shadow. Right. I did have a guy who was, we did have one friend who was, yeah.
Just really got into it. But, you know, I think it is just interesting, you know, and it's, you know, like even the song The Grudge, you know, The Grudge is a really good song about like letting go of grudges, right? Mm-hmm. Like how toxic it can be to hold on to that shit. And so like listening to those types of songs in meditations really loud and seemingly really heavy can actually, what I found is it actually gives me a place to put my subconscious. It's like, to listen to this.
Right, to focus.
You're
on
fine.
That.
And then I start to like snatch out little like snippets of whatever I'm like consciously moving. It's like opening a book to a random page and then putting your finger on a random line and being like, oh, okay, cool. Right. Like maybe that can help me.
Today. So I guess what I would ask you is, now I did a very, very poor attempt at meditation probably during COVID. I think you're like, dude, give yourself 5 minutes, bro. Give yourself. And I'm like, hey, man, that's like a great idea.
Yeah. No one has a successful first attempt at meditation.
We'll give, dude, you know.
Well, I have a great story, my first attempt. Go ahead.
Oh, fuck, that'll be funny. Yeah. But I'm just sitting there like, all right, dude, 5 minutes, whatever. That shouldn't be a problem. And I think I did it like 3 days in a row, but literally kind of either found myself sort of counting or trying to like basically like not count and not focus on time.
Yeah.
And then I'm just sitting there going, okay, fuck. And I talked to you about it and you told me some stuff. And then I'm like, so coupled that with songs that you know, after a certain time, you kind of know how long they are. How does that like kind of change the way in which you meditate? You know what I'm saying? Because you are
like
putting
anticipating.
I mean, shit, there's here comes the fucking bridge.
Yeah. Well, so. Those are great points. And so for me, you know, I always time my meditations like very rarely. I mean, when I go in my darkness retreat coming up, like I'll just meditate until I can't because I don't have a time frame. But, you know, with all my meditations, you know, from my morning meditation, I meditate for 30 to 45 minutes. And then I have like 3 to 4 10-minute meditations throughout the day.
Yeah.
They're always timed. Sometimes I don't fully sit for the full 10 minutes. So I always sit for my morning meditation till the end. But sometimes I'll like have my afternoon meditations and like, you know, feel whatever I need to do some breath work. I just kind of lean into whatever I need at that point, whether it's a mantra or like clear my thoughts or tell myself I love myself because mm-hmm. I'm fucking shitty to myself a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I don't sit for that full minute time. So when I do have those meditations, it's they're okay. And it's all an evolution, right? It's all an evolution. We all go through an evolution of our own like process when we enter something new. I'm to the point now in my meditation where I can kind of get not lost, but I can understand that whatever's happening at this moment is happening for me. And so I'm trying to understand what that for me means. And there's probably part of my subconscious that's like, okay, bridge, we got one more chorus and then I'm done here. But for the front facing Adam, it's just being within this exact moment right here. And what I found the other day when I was done, Jambi was the last song that ended. And you know how it ends, and there's like this, like it just really ends abruptly. And there's like this big reverb, just kind of like echo of what just was.
Mm-hmm.
That was when it stopped. And that moment right then for me, and that was planned. I had like 3 songs lined out. That was the last song.
Yeah.
in that moment for me, it just, it took me into this cool space of like, my buddy Tang, my meditation mentor, always says, he'll play a bell and he says, wait till you hear the non-bell. You know, and it was like one of those moments of like, it made sense to me in a real time actualization moment. Because a lot of times we have these perfect moments set up, right? Meditation. I'm going to sit down. I got music on. I got incense burning. Nobody's around. The dog's outside. The kids are gone. Whatever the fuck needs to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Life isn't like that, right? We're at fucking Fred Meyer Park, Trader Joe's. Any Trader Joe's parking lot. I got chased by a fucking chicken in a Trader Joe's parking lot one time.
What state?
Redmond.
What?
Redmond.
Yeah.
Really?
By the Staples. Yeah. I was going into Trader Joe's and a fucking chicken was chasing me through the parking lot.
He's like, hey, can I, your car insurance warranty is about to expire.
Chicken. Chicken. Hen.
Wow.
Hen, yeah.
Aggressive.
It's and weird because later on, Kawhi has them just fucking all over the place.
Well, later on, like same Trader Joe's. Months later, a guy with a violin was chasing me through the parking lot trying to force me to hear his song, and I just wasn't in the mood for whatever
reason.
Was it
about a chicken?
I don't know, and I'm like, dude, I'm not in the mood today. I'm so sorry.
What a
like,
fucking
ready,
asshole.
Like, trying to throw change at him. Like,
I've
just leave
never
me alone.
Had
sorry.
Any issue with a parking
violin.
Lot at Trader Joe's, ever.
Oh, my God. In my opinion, people just turn into, like, beginner drivers when you enter
Trader Joe's. Yeah. Trader Joe's has got their paper products get an A rating for their environmental impact. I go there for their toilet paper.
Yeah,
just I go for there for
sucks.
The dips.
If you're listening, CEO of Trader Joe's, you guys should invest in a larger role, or maybe they do already have a larger role, but that's
for their, yeah.
toilet paper.
Yeah. Mm. What's their sheet count?
I don't actually know. I bet you it's like, oh, fuck, good question. I think it's like 250, 275.
Ooh, is it a two-ply?
I think, yeah, double-ply. Oh, come on, now. I ain't hitting there with no fucking
well,
trailhead.
Well, I didn't know
it's
like economically friendly if that applied to two-ply.
No, see, that was the thing. Believe me, this was a conversation at the house. I'm like, I'll do this, but if we're doing some trailhead scenario, we gonna fight.
What about, okay, so what's with the sheet count on this shit? Why does some
thread
sheets,
count? Are you talking about on sheets or
no,
are we talking about
the
like
sheet count on toilet paper? Like it'll say like on there some it'll say like 96 sheets. Some will say like 280 sheets, and I'm like, what the fuck is the difference?
Okay.
They look the same size.
Oh,
to me.
Oh well, would define what a fucking mega roll is at
right.
this point.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
all this branding marketing shit that I'm like, I don't.
More is better.
Yeah, all I want...
The tighter you roll it, the more you can get in it.
I just don't want to touch my own butthole when I wipe my ass. That's all I want in the world.
A
I don't
simple
care if it's
man.
Soft
I want
or
that
strong.
For
simple
you.
Man did
I don't
not
want that for
think
you.
Again. Zen and not Zen. We go from deep meditation conversation.
I don't want to touch my own butthole.
This is true. Well,
just in the pooping sense.
This is
well,
true.
Okay, so it's funny. I had a friend of mine that was that I used to coach about microdosing, and this friend would just take off like a piece of a mushroom and eat it and go about their day. And I'm like, well, that's a way. But you should also know exactly what you're taking because sometimes that piece of a head might be really dense and
right.
it looks like a little piece and it might be like 2 grams.
Right? Yeah.
So weigh it out because like 500 milligrams, right? 300 milligrams, something like that. And so this person called me one day, and they're like, man, Adam, I'm standing in the aisle of Fred Meyer, and I can't decide between ultra soft or ultra strong. And I've been here for 20 minutes, and I'm like,
probably
okay,
ultra strong.
Right, you need to put down both toilet papers, go home, chill out, and then measure out your fucking microdoses. You're way too deep into a journey right now
yeah.
to be choosing fucking toilet paper, man.
You just need to step away. I go with extra soft.
Yeah.
I think I would choose extra soft.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the color of the one that I choose.
Well,
it's
so,
the blue
so,
one.
So,
I
mean, for the
is.
Longest time, I was always just whatever. It was either the one of the two options at Costco.
Yeah.
Now I specifically, Trader Joe's has good gummies as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, stoner. Not Robin knows how to stoner so. Pretty well. Don't fuck around with Robin
yeah,
and stoner.
I've been getting
yeah,
all my stoner snacks from Trader Joe's, and so when
you
I
get
pick out...
Get their Scandinavian swimmers.
Oh, okay.
Big-ass...
Well,
their
like
version
Swedish
of...
Fish kind of thing?
I love
yeah.
the oh, jerk
Scandinavian
style...
swimmers, bro.
Yeah, I like that. Good for TJ, man.
Jerk-style plantains. Those are
oh.
great.
When I drank yeah. wine, I would always go to... not always, but when I went to Trader Joe's, I would stock up on wine, because their wine was decent. It was like $4, you know, for like bottles of wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking room temperature, everything though.
Yeah,
I never really went there for alcohol back in the glory days.
Yeah,
you
know? No, it was always like if somebody glory was coming to town, days. We would go.
Glory days.
But so okay, my first meditation. We'll talk about that real quick. I thought there was a specific way to sit. Right. I was going by like what I saw on TV.
Oh yeah, fucking Lotus. You know,
like I had had a guy, Tang, I aforementioned Tang, who's now a dear friend of mine, but at the beginning of our relationship together was a yoga teacher that just, you know, talked about meditation. And so I sat down, I was in my apartment living over in Kirkland, and I was sitting down by my fireplace, and I thought like I had to sit with my legs crossed in that specific mm-hmm. way, Lotus, right? And so I got one leg up, and I've been doing yoga for a little bit now, so I was like, all right, I'm feeling flexible. To put one leg up, and I put the other leg up, and I'm like, okay, this is, all right, I got this. And then I leaned forward, and I heard rip, and it sounded like a piece of paper ripping, and I ripped my LCL on my right knee.
No!
Trying to meditate. I ripped
tissue. No way.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible. And I'm like, and then the stories happen, like, oh, fuck, I can't even... sit and meditate. I can't even relax right.
Yeah.
You know, and so those stories started to happen. But, you know, and it took me a while to rehab my knee, and I was doing yoga at the time, so it sucked even more. But, you know, it's a thing that as much of a deterrent as that could have been, and like deterrents like that have been there in my life, and I've accepted them, and I've justified them. But that was one of those things for me that was like, I didn't know it then, but I looked back and I knew that, like, okay, I was being told to do this, and I'm being shown to do this, and I was being shown that even though it's a peaceful practice, I still need to be present, and I still need to manage the shit that I'm not peaceful about, right? And so it was like this big, big, like, kind of circular lesson once I finally figured it out. But, you know, but it was something that, like, kept pushing me. It's like, yeah, that sucks that you did that, but...
You were present enough that you fucking heard it rip, though.
It literally sounded like paper tearing.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, it's such a weird feeling.
But how peaceful of a moment and how quiet it was for you to be able to hear that.
Fucking one with his self.
Yeah.
I wasn't then. I was fucking pissed, and I went through all those stories of like self-hatred and all this shit. Oh, but you know, God. When I finally calmed down, it's like, well, here's
is that why you have a fucking, is that like, you know, I mean, you don't really golf that much anyway, but like.
Yeah, I
mean,
have a fucking. Yeah.
But that was like, that was the knee issue.
That was the start of my knee issue.
The knee issue that,
how many
like.
Years ago was that?
That was 12 years ago. And then it was like, okay, so I rehabbed it. It was doing good. And I'll just tell this story real quick because you guys will think it's funny. So I worked with it, you know, doing yoga, and like I got back to where, you know, it was okay, right? My very last shift at Red Hook. The very last day I worked there, I was working behind the bar. We got slammed out of nowhere, and I had to help Kevin behind the bar.
Hit the well.
Me and bar. So I was standing in the well doing work, and it was my right knee, and I had to get a beer, and I grabbed the glasses, and I turned left, and when I turned left, my right foot didn't turn with me. I tried to pivot on my heel, but my foot got stuck to the mats, and my knee turned, and it just goes. And it just did it again. And then I had to work for 2 hours on that hobbly knee because nobody else was there. You weren't there, Robin. I think you were already gone, Kinsey.
Probably.
The bartender wasn't coming in for a while. Didn't have another manager coming in, you know. So we were short-staffed, slammed as fuck, my last shift. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks, fucking Red Hook. Thanks for the fucking parting gift, you know?
When I tore my ACL, I had a very similar experience. So I couldn't get my ACL.
What the fuck, you athletes? What the fuck?
You're right. I was in marching band. That's why I fucking tore my ACL, because my body's not built for physical labor. I was living in China, and my coworkers were always trying to get me to go to kung fu class with them on, like, Saturday mornings. And I was like, I'm not really, like, that's just not my bag. And they're like, no, it's really fun. It's, you know, come with me. And I was like, okay. And we were warming up. And I tore it, and I was there for 2 minutes. And he just showed me kind of how to warm up kicking a bag.
Right.
And I tried to imitate what he did. So I stomped with my left foot and kicked with my right. And as soon as that stomp happened, I felt this, like, it felt like I got hit by a fucking Mack truck. Like, I knew something tore, and then my leg immediately felt like gum.
Yeah.
But because I was living in China, I couldn't get it fixed for like 8 months.
Oh shit.
So I was walking around with no ACL for almost a year.
Ooh.
But I remember kneeling on my bed, putting something up above my bed. It was like a curtain or something like that. And I twisted my body to reach back for something. And it was the most pain I've ever felt. It hurt more than actually tearing my ACL.
Yeah.
It's just that pivot of like, and your knee just went one way and your leg didn't. Oh
yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, your body wants to move in one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. And that's, you know, lifting and twisting, just as especially as we get older, that's the main way that people hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. If you're lifting and you're engaged and you twist your body, your back is not going to be happy. No. Like a lot of the people that come to yoga that see us after the fact, after the PT, is like, what did you do? Oh, I'm a plumber. And I picked up this big spool of something and moved it over there. And I'm like, got it.
It's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. So it's unengaged twists.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking age, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of age, it's not age related. I don't want to say
speaking
that.
Of fucking age, man. You know,
what are you trying to say?
Somebody said this, said that, okay, I'll tell you what happened and I'll tell you what somebody said, but yesterday I was getting out of the shower and I was, went to put oil in my hair and I flung my hair down as people with long hair do. And when I flung my hair down, I bashed my head on the doorknob.
Oh shit. And, yeah, dude. Totally.
Yeah, been there.
Good one, right?
Yep.
And blood everywhere.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, head, oh, yeah.
Where'd
head
you hit
wound.
It?
Head wound. Yeah, you see it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That could probably use stitches.
It probably needed stitches, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh. And yeah, so blood everywhere.
I didn't even see that till
handprints
just now.
On the walls and shit, because I didn't know my head was bleeding, and I was just like, fuck, you know, just
seeing fucking stars.
But yeah, so I got blood all over the place and shit. And so I got myself cleaned up, put some bandages on, put a little liquid bandage on there and shit. But I was telling somebody about it at yoga last night because I wanted to make sure that, hey, you know, if I get blood trickling down my face,
it's not
I'm
sweat.
Fine, but let me know, please, you know. And one of the students was there and there's like, God, did that make you feel old? And I'm like, huh.
No, it made me feel stupid.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that's an age thing. No. You know, like I'm 43. I mean, almost 44. It's not like I'm a spring chicken, but I'm you know.
You're
it doesn't seem
old,
like
bro.
An age.
It wasn't like you threw out your neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that would make me
like
feel
age.
Old.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's an interesting statement. No, it didn't make me feel old.
Yeah,
no,
it's
just a depth perception.
You didn't fucking blow out your elbow eating an ice cream cone and some shit.
Oh my gosh. You know how many parents that I know that have like ripped something or torn something racing their kid? They're like, yeah, I'll fucking race you. And then all of a sudden take off from a cold start.
Uh-huh.
And then like, oh my God, my hamstring, my knee, my whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I felt
you're
flat
just like
on my
fucking
ass
let some like 4-year-old beat you up some hill. You're like, oh shit.
Because well, like the last time you sprinted from a dead stop, or the last time I did, I remember what it felt like,
yeah.
But it was when I was 8. Uh-huh. And I was just like, oh yeah, my body can still do this.
From a cold start, like just sprinted. When was the last time you did that? You said, okay, so
successfully?
Oh, well, because
the last time I did it, my body kept moving forward, but my legs stayed behind me. Like I couldn't get my legs to move fast enough. And I just toppled over in front of a recess yard full of elementary school children.
Yeah.
So it was the best case scenario. But I think the last time I did it successfully, I was probably in middle school.
I haven't ran in a very long time.
And see, here's the thing though. Like I'm a very active person, right? I do yoga all the time, move my body, do a lot of shit. Even so, that being said,
planks, bro.
That being said, the last time I ran from a cold stop, it fucking hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And my knees hurt. Like I was able to run, but like I got going and I'm like, oh man, like I'm starting to like, oh, different types of pressure, different types of momentum, different types of movement, you know, on my joints. And I think that's what we got to remember. It's like, no matter how active or inactive you are, if you're doing something outside of your normal physical abilities, it's going to be different. Right.
Yeah.
And your body's going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Especially as we get older, right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like 40, 50 older. That could mean like 25, 35 older.
Yeah.
Like, I've got my younger brother, Andy, threw his fucking back out when he was 16 years old, reaching for the remote control on the floor from a chair, right? It's like, it doesn't really...
You're shitting
no,
me.
No, he was down for like 2 months. He fucked himself
it's
up
twist.
Good. Yeah,
it's
totally,
the twist.
Right? Yeah.
Twist and lift.
But, you know, so it doesn't really... It's not an age thing.
Those
definitely as you get older...
Back then.
Yeah, but, you know, as we get older... And even, you know, to your point, Kinsey, you've changed your body a lot since the time you busted your ACL.
Center of gravity's different.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? You know, and that's a lot of weight that you took away from your body, which changed your posture, you know,
yeah.
So that can change the way that your mechanics work, right?
Totally. And I also think, like, your neurons don't fire the same, because it felt like my brain was telling my legs to move when I was, like, running from a dead start, and my legs were just not keeping up with the request from my fucking
it's like
brain.
Your brain speaking Morse code, and
yeah!
your legs
talking
reach
to Carla Gugino's friends.
Yeah.
God cocktail.
Neuron fired. Yeah.
I gotta say, one of my favorite things to do as a yoga instructor, because I do a lot of inversion and arm balance workshops and like work with people of all different ages and body types and stuff. It's watching adults do cartwheels that haven't done cartwheels in a while. And they're still, like I said, they're still active, right? These people are doing yoga, or they're doing some like CrossFit or something, you know, some kind of gymnastics kind of shit. But, you know, you get them in there, and it's like, okay, so we got to learn how to fall, right? So if you're going to be upside down, the first thing you need to know is how to safely fall so you can just not trash your shoulders or your hips. Best way to do that, cartwheel out of a handstand. How do you do that? Fucking let's cartwheel first, right? So you have these fucking adults cartwheeling across a yoga space, and it looks like toddlers.
Right.
Because a lot of these people, no matter how active or athletic they are, haven't done that in a while.
I don't know how to cartwheel.
It is hilarious. I don't mean that as anything like funny to them. Like, I'm terrified to just imagine myself trying to cartwheel.
Gatekeeper gymnastics right now.
one of my good friends, she's a yoga instructor, but she's also a kids gymnastics judge, and she loves judging these fucking kids. It's one of her favorite things to do.
Like, soak it up, bitch. You ain't got another 10 years on that.
It's so great. I love listening to her talk about that.
I saw a guy on the internet try to jump off a swing like you used to when you were a kid. And he was like, I'm retired. Watch me try to jump off a swing. And it was, I could see, it like, he landed and his knees locked. And then he folded in half, and like his head hit his knee, and you could just see like it was a complete V on the ground. And I was just like, yeah, in my brain, I think I could still jump off a swing at full fucking range, and you just can't.
Yeah,
you can't.
I bet 1,000 on elephant ears, you know. I just, every opportunity, boom, elephant ear, let's go.
Yeah.
But rope swings. Like, I definitely passed one up, like, literally a month ago.
Yeah.
I've literally, even when I was younger, I think I fucked myself up on, like, half of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the teenage, like, oh, we're going to float the river. Oh, yeah, I hit a tree.
Like, well, back then, too, those rope swings weren't, like, there wasn't a code for them. They had, like, metal barbs sticking out of those tires.
All the shit, like, you know, that we were doing and still doing were, like, you know, like, fucking some good old boy fucking came there with some climbing rope.
Yeah. And we'll put it right here on this branch. That feels right, yeah.
I was talking to Harper, my youngest, the other day, and she's 15. And, you know, her mom, they live over in Eastern Washington. And Sydney's a beautiful woman. She's very protective. Like, she's very cautionary. She's very, like, what if type of person, you know? And because of that, you know, the girls don't get a lot of that freedom that, yeah, I don't think a lot of kids actually get.
Not anymore.
Too much.
You just know how stupid some of that shit honestly was.
Right. But just the general freedom and the general trust, I think that goes with that. And that's what Harper was saying.
Yeah.
And when we were in Alaska, granted, Girdwood, Alaska, population like 1,500 people, very small town. Like, when we pulled up into the town, all of the townsfolk were just at the park playing. All the kids, all the, you know, families and shit. Like, it's just one of those type of, like, you know, Newberry towns kind of, right? And so the girls, we let them just roam around the town. Like, go to the store, go to the thing, go to the park. You know, it's like 10 square miles. So you're not going to get in trouble or anything. I mean, obviously you can, but... But it was just like, she told me later, she's like, I really wish I could do that more. You know, I really, you know, want that to happen. And just, you know, hearing her talk about that, you know, it's always like, we miss what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember being mad at my mom sometimes for kicking us out of the house in the morning and then not wanting us to come home until night, especially during the summertime. It's like, but I don't want to go out and do shit today. You know, it's like, we'll fucking figure it out, dude.
That's what your mom did.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were surrounded by woods.
Go figure it out.
Yeah. We were surrounded by woods, and we our neighbor kids were the same age as us, roughly. There was one that was about a year off, but three boys and two girls, two boys and a girl. All right, so there's like, get out, go explore.
We were always kind of at that age. It was always, you know, I guess it's classes, but we were always like doing YMCA camps and shit.
We did that too. My mom was part of the YMCA. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but yeah, no, being like, no, you fucking come back when the fucking streetlights come on, kind of shit.
Totally. Yeah, when you can hear my voice, come home.
The nice thing about growing up in Tucson is that when summer hit, it was 120 degrees.
So this is
the
other thing.
We can't stay outside all day.
Yeah. This is the other thing, is that you guys, grew up fucking with different kind of weather, and that changes a little bit of it, you know, because it's always hot. It's always sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a health risk if you're outside for fucking 8 hours running around.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, we had so we had one set of woods right next to us that we played in quite a bit, built forts in. It was It was like a 1 acre lot of what is now a house, but was just woods.
Of course, yeah.
It was just great for six kids to go through there, and like we made our own trails and played with snakes and shit, right? But then across the street, like maybe about a quarter mile down, but still on our street, there was another set of woods that we weren't not allowed to play in there, but it was just like play in the woods close to us. Right. But as we got older, we can venture out more. Parents got more trust.
It's easier to smoke weed in those woods that aren't directly behind your house.
Well, yeah, we just smoked weed at our house. It didn't, you know, it was one of those things. Mom didn't know, but so she wasn't condoning.
You blow it into the bowl. You spray.
Well, we had, I remember we were, preteens, so I think maybe like 10, and we were all out in the woods we weren't, not supposed to be in, but the woods we weren't normally in. And those woods are right between, like, our neighborhood was right behind this town called Tamina. Tamina was inhabited by mainly black folks. There was it used to be a slave town. Our neighborhood used to be the cotton fields, the plantation house was still in the back of the neighborhood.
Damn.
Woodson Farms. And so like there was a lot of like this weird history with that plot of area.
Real stars and bars shit.
Yeah, right. But it was racially charged at times, but for the most part it was like we all got along. Everything was good. But there was some idiots here and there, yeah.
Sure.
That being said, Klan used to meet in those woods. That was one of the reasons why we couldn't meet in there. We would see the tips of flaming crosses and shit at times, right?
Oh fuck.
So so it was interesting. But we were playing in those woods one afternoon, and we never really explored them. They were deep woods, and we were just in there for like an hour or two, and all of a sudden, like, we saw these like ramshackle houses, like these like kind of like dilapidated, like stick built kind of shits, you know. But
Blair Witch shit.
No, a little more structured than that.
Never saw that, but yeah, still, it's creepy as fuck. Yeah.
But still, like, very just kind of run down. Bunch of kids, we got sticks, we're fine, you know, we go in there, start opening, like poking doors open and shit, and we're kind of just moving around. There was like fire damage in places and stuff, and then we went into one cabin. There was three or four. We went into one of them, and it was all like swastikas and like KKK shit. I think there was like a scorched hood, so I don't know if like the residents of Tamina or somebody that lived there like found this like very racist encampment and was like, welcome home, fuckers. Great. And just like took care of it themselves. But we caught up with the aftermath of it. It was like, okay, cool. That I'm not coming back here.
Fucking sucks.
It was scary. That was really scary. Just especially like being at that age. And, you know, we'd been flyered by the KKK, just being that close to the crosses and shit. But our parents were very good about like, this is ignorance. You're facing ignorance right now. Like, this is stupid.
I can't imagine growing up in a place where there's, like, active KKK. Like, it's always been, like, a distant history book kind of thing for me. Like, not distant, because I know they exist, but, like, it was just not in my environment at all at that level. And I could not imagine how that would mold my brain.
Well, I like, as a kid, I think, I don't know what year the movie came out, but I saw, like, as a kid, I saw Mississippi Burning.
Oh yeah.
And that was my first introduction to the Klan, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is some scary fucked up shit. But it was that's still at a very, very distant arm length up here in the Pacific Northwest.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it was unnerving, you know, because we, you know, going to school with kids that were raised by parents with that, you know, knowledge base, you know, and our school was very mixed race. Like, it wasn't predominantly white. It was a very even mix between Asian, black, Hispanic, and whites.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy to think about, like, having them live in your community. Like, you know someone who knows someone.
Yeah. Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like, having it that close of a degree away from your, like, that's wild to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, as we got older, going over to some, you know, friends' parents' houses, mm-hmm. and, like...
You just see shit.
You start to see shit, you're like, oh, wow, that's...
Have you guys seen my cabin in the woods? It's fucking lit!
Yeah.
Although I did go to a friend's house, and I used to buy weed from this kid back in, like, high school and shit. Went to his house one day, and his dad answered the door. And he's a really sweet guy. He's kind of big, kind of buff dude. And we go to the back room, and I'm like, yeah, your dad's pretty sweet. And he's like, yeah, my dad was a former DEA agent. And I'm like... Excuse me?
Wow. Sorry. Come again?
Okay. All right. And he's like, yeah, let's go talk to him. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, he's cool, man. It's fine. We're not going to obviously talk to him about me selling you weed, but like, let's go talk to him. He's got cool stories. And so I go in there, I talk to this guy's dad, and I'm like, so you're your former DEA agent? He's like, yeah, I was the head of the task force that took down Marion Barry. The governor of Maryland.
Oh, I love me some Marion Barry quotes.
Yeah. And this gentleman had above his mantle, he's like, turn around and check out that picture. He had above his mantle a framed picture from the surveillance camera that caught Marion Barry
of him smoking
crack.
A rock in the hotel room.
Who's Marion Barry?
He was a
mayor of DC.
DC,
Washington DC.
What year?
Late 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, got caught smoking crack in the office.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Got reelected.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's got great. A framed picture of that guy.
He got caught
wow.
getting a BJ in a prison waiting room. When he got arrested, the direct quote was, "Bitch set me up." That is just so random. Marion Barry.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Yeah.
Also, God. Just great name. I've fucking, right. yeah, I literally, in my 15 parents. Years of serving desserts, I've been able to make that joke probably about 30 times.
So grateful.
When we have a Marion Barry cobbler or something like
what's
this.
What's your go-to joke for a Marion Barry?
Oh, I just bring up the mayor of D.C., and I just hope that they know who I'm talking about, and if I do, we're not talking about dessert. Let's talk about BJ's and crack. Fuck, I gotta spice tonight up anyway. I could talk about French fries all fucking day.
God,
I know way too much about French fries. I know more than I guess not more than a French fry representative. But
what's your favorite French fry fact?
Well, it's just okay.
How many could there be? It's potatoes.
That's the thing. So when we introduced fryers into Red Hook, we mm-hmm. didn't have fries before.
I remember
so
that.
We went to the Cisco Test Kitchen, and I thought it was going to be like a great day because the way the guy pitched it to me, he's like, "You're going to spend like 3 hours tasting different fried foods and different fries and different curly cut and
for the
shoestring
first hour." That'd be great.
Like, exactly, and then you feel like a giant grease ball because yeah. you've just been eating greasy shit.
Yeah, I had a fry daddy when I was in my early 20s. Yeah.
So I think the two things that it's all two things, but it's kind of wrapped up into one that really astounded me was the science behind fries and the hot holding science. Right. So obviously, I guess it makes sense that a thicker a fry, the hotter it stays for the longer time. The smaller the fry, like shoestring, the quicker it'll cool off, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to think about your kitchen to table time, right? So right. So there's that.
It's
factor,
like that toaster
right?
thing on that other podcast. I didn't even remember yes. what we were talking about. What was it? 4-1.
The golden ratio.
Yes. So you when you put that one out, you're like, we talked about that, and I'm just like, fuck. I think I came up with that. I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. It's toaster slots, right?
Yeah, toaster slots, yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you do it immediately after, because one is not enough, you don't get the toast. But if you go immediately in, there's already heat in the toaster. So you have to feel it out. You can't trust the toaster timer because it will always come out darker than you want it to if you go back to back.
Yes. So, but wasn't it, but it also had something to do with if you're doing, I thought it had to do with the slot toaster.
The slot toaster, yeah.
So if you have four versus two, or if it's super long ones.
Yes, but four, doing the outside and then the inside.
Yes.
4-1 and then 2-3.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, back to the fries.
2-3.
So yes, I love that segue.
gotta make sure. Yeah,
so the other thing about the fries is the starch content. So they started to coat French fries in potato starch because that also helps hold in the heat, right? And so there's like this whole science behind all this shit behind
making
your
own.
Did you go over curly fries?
Yeah.
What makes the seasoning on a curly fry? Because I wish I could have that crisp that comes on like a Jack in the Box curly fry.
Yeah.
But all fries straight.
Jack in the Box got hip to their game on that curly fry. Those are like the most expensive fucking thing on that menu.
And they're worth it. They're worth it.
So. I used to.
That's like the most serious I've ever fucking seen you.
They're great.
I 10 toes stand on that.
When I used to frequent Jack in the Box, I would always get excited when I would get home and there'd be like a rogue curly fry in my regular fry box.
Yeah,
I don't know. And I started to think, I'm like, do they do that on purpose?
Why would you get regular fries?
I don't know, man.
I mean, so, their regular fries are trash.
In high school, there was a hot dog place that would do that brick of curly fries, like at the fucking fair,
yeah.
for $2.
Oh, man.
But what is the coating on a curly fry?
Potato starch.
Oh, so you just load up more. Like, you know what I'm talking about, though.
That's what helps it, yeah. So potato starch, and it helps it crisp.
Yes.
But it also hot holds it. Now, the seasoning for curly fries, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, but also there's fries that got, like, they're called, like, dusted or whatever, that look like they're fucking, you know, you tossed them and shake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not well, the seasoning. No. Like, there's that, there's, like, that, those fries that are kind of, like, breaded. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I can't think of a mainstream place that does them.
Yeah.
That was my inquiry. Like, why can't more of the straight fries have that extra kind of breaded quality to
them? I'm usually shocked when I get it, so I'm usually not in the mood for it, because I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? I mean, but sounds like that's your jam.
When he wasn't expecting. Yeah, I think maybe because I get it so infrequently, maybe if it was more abundant, I wouldn't like it.
That's what I think I'm afraid of with curly fries. Because I've gotten like, okay, I'm going to get curly fries with whatever instead. And like halfway through, I'm like,
where the fuck have you gone that offers curly fries?
That's a long time ago, man. Okay. This is Adam digging deep into the stoner day.
Yeah, exactly.
This is when Adam got used to eating mayonnaise because like I would always, so I go to Jack in the Box at like 3 in the morning, right? And not that they're not top tier staff at 3 in the morning, right? Hell, I used to sell weed at the fucking drive-thru guy, right? But I would go through and I'd get like my Jumbo Jack or my fucking, sourdough jack with the bacon and shit. And, but I would always do no mayo because I'm not a mayo guy. I don't like mayo, right? Just because I grew up in the South and I'm white doesn't mean I like mayo, right? But again, 3 in the morning, you're not the choice of staff. So I would always get home and there'd be mayo on my shit.
I thought you meant you ordered mayo as a dip.
Just ate mayo.
Because we were talking about fries. Yeah. You were like, oh, and that's when I started to eat mayo. No. And I just pictured you dipping fries.
Okay. I could see why your look was so
horrified.
Yeah, no.
What was going to come out of your mouth.
And so I would get home and there'd be mayo. And I'm like, motherfucker. And so I just like wipe off as much as I can. But then you eventually... there's still mayo on there, right?
Yeah.
So eventually I just got used to the taste of it, but I'm not a big fan of it.
Dude, mayo sucks.
I like it because it brings a moistness that is sometimes needed.
I can feel that.
You need it for moistener. Tuna.
Yeah. But I also like ranch, so a lot of people don't like white creamy sauces on their food. Like the same people that don't enjoy mayo.
Los creamy sauces y los hongos way.
Also don't like ranch, I feel like.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's a Venn diagram. It's at least closer, yeah.
I love ranch. I used to...
Love me a good Venn diagram. Very good ranch way to mayo illustrate. Venn diagram. Very good way to illustrate your point with the fucking...
I'm a visual learner. Like you know, that's what I... Yeah.
That portion is purple.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to just bring something up for you two, just because we talked about it a couple podcasts ago, and like... I want to make sure you guys knew that I'm still like taking in new information and listening to, you know, what's going on out there. But I just listened to an interesting podcast. It's about Robert Kennedy Jr.
Okay.
So we talked about him a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, interesting way that he's approaching, you know, his candidacy and like the things that he's choosing to talk about.
Yeah.
So I follow, I think you follow them too, Under the Desk News.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Love that person.
Yeah.
I can't remember their name right now. But
I don't actually know their real name.
I started listening to their podcast. So it's what's it called? Like,
How's it not called Under the Desk Podcast?
It's two women. It's a different thing. One woman does like morning news and another Instagram, and she does her Under the Desk News, and they have preachy women Democrat.
Okay.
Democracy.
Got it.
And they did a deep dive on, and I trust her for whatever that means for me. I trust the information she's putting out. I like the way she's putting it out. I think she's very impartial.
That's what I was going to say. She's not emotional. Or is it she or is they? I assume it was they.
I think she might be a she, but it...
Okay. She, they. I enjoy it because she presents it in a way that doesn't seem like she has an opinion. It's like, I wish more news was like this, where it's just information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the podcast they have is great. And so they did a deep dive today on the back end of their podcast about Kennedy Jr.'s candidacy and money he's coming from and all this stuff. And it was just really interesting to get their take because they touched a lot on the topics that he's running on that, you know, touts his, you know, economics or no, the work that he did with like nature rehabilitation and a lot of the things that he's known well for.
Yeah.
They started talking about like where the money's coming from and where the backroom's coming from. And a lot of the people backing him are the same people that have backed Trump.
Yeah.
And he's got close ties with Trump, whether he says it or not. So, you know, it's like this, It's just a really nice, like, you know.
It's the same.
This is what they're showing.
Exposing. You're right.
This is what's really going on.
Same and that's level what of animosity I had for Nader in the 2000s when he was running up against Gore and Kerry.
I vaguely remember that one. I don't think I voted in that election, but I remember the name
Nader. I couldn't vote in the Gore one because I would have been 2000, but yeah, in 04, 04 and 08.
But yeah, I think Bush and Gore. Who's 2001? Bush and. Right after 9/11, that election. That would have been, I think I just missed that one.
Well, so I think it was Bush's second term was 04 to 08.
Yeah, so I think it was.
Yeah.
Cause so yeah, after,
the Hanging Chads. That was my first, I think I was like 17 was right before that was it happened.
The Hanging Chads.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The Hanging Chads?
The fucking election ballots that were punched.
In
but
Florida?
They weren't punched all the way through, so the ballots weren't level, so you'd have that right fucking there shithead.
And
like,
Gore
on
technically
the news
won. But it was just
yeah,
the
no, no.
Sneaky
you,
way
you have
get
short-term memory. The Supreme Court, in their infinite wisdom, elected George Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah
of the fucking Hanging Chads.
And now we're pissed off at a different Supreme Court for a whole other set of reasons. Oh,
but, right.
You know, this
monsters
isn't the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, I mean, are you guys planning on voting this
term? Oh, I fucking
yeah
vote every time.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
every
what
time
the fuck are you
every
talking
time
about,
man? Even if I'm not, like, fully invested in what the candidate is, right, like, it's
all this shit, like, oh, yeah, fucking blah, blah, blah. It's all fucked. We're all rigged. Fuck these people. You voted? Of course.
Well,
yes, I voted.
It's
still important
it
to be part
is
of the
it
system.
Is, yeah, it is your, it's the one thing that we, I mean, our fucking voting process, I have a lot to say about it. Like, I think the Electoral College is a fucking scam, and it's
right
a fucking
yeah, I don't like it
insane
either.
And so I don't, do we have complete free and fair elections, in my opinion?
No.
Not really.
Right.
But I'm not going to not exercise the one fucking thing that we all can do as citizens to contribute. Like, if you're not going to do, like, my dad is not registered to vote because he doesn't want to do jury duty and has never voted in his life. And I was like, then you don't get a fucking say in anything.
So that's the whole point is you can't have an opinion if you don't have an opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, am I super stoked about Biden? Nah. I wasn't stoked about it, but the first 8, time.
He's 8,000 fucking years old.
And that's the least of it, you know?
Yeah.
And,
no, that's my concern. I'm still
but
for him,
I'm not going to not. I'm just not going to be that person that is not going to do anything right about it, you know? Yeah. Especially when so much is fucking on the line right now.
Yeah.
Did you know that Obama's still like fucking 15 years younger than like fucking all these people he's been out of the office for?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I feel like there's more of a push now, especially with the younger generation to vote locally, like still vote federally, yes, but like
in this
focusing
state
on like local
in this state, yes, there is absolutely no excuse not to vote in every single election. We have mail-in fucking ballots. You don't have to take off work. You can do
right
it from home. It is provided
I
to you.
I don't know if you can vote in this one, but the Seattle City Council has had a vacant seat that was replaced by this chick that named Tanya Wu.
Mm-hmm.
Who got the seat, and she's running up. There's actually some lady who worked at UW who's now put her name in the hat. But the only reason why I'm actually bringing this up is I think it's fucking bullshit that this chick, Tanya Wu, is even a politician because she literally didn't even start voting until 2021.
What?
Yeah, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah, so you have opinions about how things needed to run, but
2021, you can't say you were too busy.
Yeah.
What party is she?
I don't know. Oh, okay. See, it's like I don't even give a shit.
Like a
let's just say just to be whatever. Let's just say she's a bleeding heart liberalist.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bullshit fucking excuse.
Yeah.
I don't think she is, but you
right
know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's
yeah
just like you didn't fucking vote until 2021. It's like, you know, this shouldn't even be a com again, she got, you know, did whatever the fuck, and it doesn't mean you can't have everybody at one point had zero experience. But
yeah
that's
right
she's not fucking 19 years old, I guess.
Well,
is
to
my
go
point
from not giving a shit enough to not even mail in a ballot to caring so much that you want to run stuff, like that's kind of a big jump.
I tell you, this is going to be a fucking page turner of a fucking podcast with a local local
know
political conversation
well
in the Pacific Northwest.
But
well,
I
that's
think,
where
I think
like
it's
the change really
oh
is
unrelated. I heard about putting a fucking peep in a s'more, replacing a peep as the marshmallow
nope
in a s'more.
Best tangent ever.
Can't do peeps. Those things are
no
fucking
no, I can't either. Yeah,
man
yeah yeah.
I'm going to fucking totally do that.
Yeah. No, I respect your sweets game, but peeps, I got to draw a line.
My grandmother
kept
disgusting them for far too long, and so when I was a kid, I would always like grab one because it's like candy or whatever,
oh,
but it was
see
always stale as fuck.
Oh, see, that's my dad's wheelhouse.
The
my
scale?
Dad buys peeps as shit you know. Well, my dad's type 1 diabetic, so like having candy stashed in the house, that's just what
Yeah.
That's just what you have to do, honestly.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Nothing will bring you back from a fucking diabetic spiral and a fucking peep. Jesus. No, but
literally buys them, opens them, and then puts them in the fucking, like, pantries. Like, he had to, quote, season his peeps. It really? Is so fucking funny. Yeah, because they're really soft when they're fresh.
So you gotta have that stale.
Yeah, and he likes the stale.
He likes that chew.
Wow. It's like a meringue almost when you let them sit out long enough. You know what I mean?
A meringue.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it's like a high class treat.
My
now.
Grandmother used to buy peeps and she would leave them out long. I'm like, oh, is she describing stale peeps? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you could have fucking mailed those up to my dad and he would have paid a premium.
On that note, do you what's your take on the Robin on the freeze dried sweets kind of thing,
like the spaceman M&Ms food
and, or like, the Skittles? And
okay,
shit like
so
that.
I had freeze dried Skittles for the first time, literally like it was in Kauai at a fucking farmer's market. My brother bought them. Like, wow, okay, cool. We can buy these literally anywhere. But yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah,
what was even more interesting was my dad at this literally later that day at a grocery store bought the astronaut ice cream sandwich.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, we've literally been to fucking hundreds of museums. You have purchased these for me and you're acting like you have never fucking seen this before. I'm not even kidding. My dad waited till 78 to buy an astronaut fucking ice cream sandwich at a grocery store in Kauai.
Those things are so disgusting.
When the time comes.
But yeah, you've had that shit, right? The freeze-dried ice cream sandwich?
I haven't had the sandwich. I've had the dots. Or the...
Skittles?
No. What's the one they used to sell at baseball games?
Oh, Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a whole other ballgame. You've had the ice cream sandwich. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right by the fucking Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to wait till I'm 78 to get a fucking astronaut sandwich.
Yeah, you should go to the fucking Pay and Save in Kauai. Yeah. They've got them at the fucking checkout stand.
Dude, yeah, no, the astronaut ice cream was a regular thing at our house because we're right by NASA.
The
at least twice a year.
So I do backpacking and camping, fair weather shit. I'll do that probably once a year, once or twice a year. So some of that camping shit now is kind of just that now.
Right.
You just add hot water. You just add hot water.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, literally... The fucking astronaut on the package, the Neapolitan ice cream sandwich. It's this fucking big.
Well, and I just watched something recently.
Yeah, you need to get
down
with it.
What's the texture?
It's fucking dry as shit.
It's terrible.
Is it crumbly?
It's crumbly.
A fucking.
Oh, no, no thanks.
It's like those fucking.
Is it like
those,
a frozen
those
peep?
Pastel dinner mints. You know, there's a fucking soda.
Yeah. No.
But they don't melt.
No,
it basically hydrates in your mouth and turns it into the ice cream sandwich. It's trippy as fuck. Well, yeah, can't handle that on strong acid.
Well, you know, I say that, and I tried a frozen Skittle for the first time, and I hated the first bite, I hated the second bite, I hated the third bite, and then the fourth bite, I was like, oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was eating it and just being like, oh, this is...
It's like your fourth drink of a wine cooler.
Yeah.
And then it all started to make sense.
Well, okay, so I watched something recently that astronauts didn't even use... freeze-dried ice cream because it's crumbly and you can't have crumbs in space because it gets into the instruments.
Oh, yeah.
It kills instruments, right? So, they never even ate that.
So, it's a fraud.
It is.
It's 100% racket.
Marketing. Right. The guy was like, why would we eat this? It's terrible. And it gets in all our shit and it would break our shit. We're not going to do that.
Nothing brings me more joy than thinking about being in space and having a pouch of liquid that I get to squeeze and then just go, hump, hump, hump.
Hungry little bubbles.
Yeah. Like, why would I put myself in a position, work my entire life to go into space to eat this dry ass ice cream that is not going
to
melt, when I could have a little floating bubble?
You need to get down with those. That might be the follow-up podcast. We'll do a live
taste
Kinsey
test.
Eating one of those fucking ice cream sandwiches and we'll package that with us doing that.
We all should bring in one thing.
Hey, what kind of car is that, Adam? Oh, I believe that's a Chevy Suburban. Oh.
Travis got a thick
thing. Yeah. Travis got a thick today.
All right, we're shutting down.
That is the best shit ever. Put the microphone in the car.
It took me long enough to set up the mics in that car that it did for us to say, stop it.
Literally.
Abort.
Literally. Why wouldn't you just start the podcast once you got the food? That's what always has been my question is doing a road trip. Like the whole, you guys started from leaving the driveway?
Yeah.
100%.
God, fucking 100%. Rookies,
we're going to get the reaction of the drive-thru attendant. and like, hey, we're going to do this taste test.
I get that starting it in the drive-thru even makes sense, but starting it leaving fucking Kirkland drive-thru?
30-minute drive.
Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. I don't even have anything on a good day to say when there's no microphone on the drive.
You guys want content. We're trying to give our fans what they want.
And you didn't even make it to the phone. I would just be like, why would we fire up this fucking microphone?
His old house.
Yes.
We literally took out of there and then got onto the on-ramp, like left onto the on-ramp to go up on fucking 405 North. And like before we even got onto 405 North.
Didn't even make it to like, Wendy's?
No, like about Wendy's. Yeah, we're like, I'm not feeling this. Yeah, I'm good.
But we're still going to Popeye's, right? Yeah,
and you didn't just be like, hey, we're not feeling it for the drive. Hey, you want to pop it on it when we get there? Nothing? All right.
No, all right.
It's like and it, you vote?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted
quickly,
to check.
Like, walk the other direction down the hallway. Like, you were never doing anything. Like, oh, yeah, knock all the cool out of your walk. God, dude, I'm fucking crying. I forgot about that. You guys started the podcast from when you got in the car.
What's funny is this? Belt even comes 30 out.
30-minute drive.
Even up until this moment right now, that never occurred to me. Never occurred to me once. Never.
It's the best.
It's like, why didn't we just start?
Dude, why didn't you just be like, you're still so going?
Good. So good.
Oh my God.
We didn't even fucking do
the and both of you are voting for the runner, the leader of the free world. Holy shit, boy.
Dude. Wow.
We're in deep trouble,
We've
folks.
We've talked about this numerous times.
And I've always thought that, and I thought maybe it was like, you just weren't feeling the vibe, period, and you, I just never asked the question, but the question has always been in my brain, like, why don't you just wait?
See, this is why we needed you, Kinsey.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, we recruited Kinsey.
Yeah. Y'all need some help. Let me come in here.
We needed to bring our friend who did improv to help us out on the podcast.
Bless
we were running out of ideas. We thought we'd do a
that
live.
That is fucking why didn't we do
you
that?
Don't have any, we don't have any.
I think I might, actually. I'll try to find that.
Please. Can that be the intro to all the new episodes?
Just all the new episodes. Is that a suburban?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. Yeah. All right. You want to shut it down? Yeah, shut it down.
Oh, God.
Bro time.
Holy shit.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's not.
I'll try to find that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I do have a couple unreleased episodes.
30-minute drive. Still went and did it anyway.
We'll put that behind the paywall.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Patreon paywall.
Well, our founding members that have been fans for, you know who you are, we'll get you that podcast for free.
Oh, God.
Slide into the DMs.
That's what you get for hanging out with us for the last 3
God
years.
God damn it.
Shit.
It's been almost 3-4 years now.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
oh, 2020.
Doing this.
3 years.
Wow.
I mean, we've got 75 episodes, but something like that.
My God, and hopefully that many fans.
Yeah.
We do, actually. Yeah. We have about 150 regular fans.
Dude, I appreciate each and every one of your ghost accounts.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, I hired some Australian dude in Spotify to run.
Fuck dude. Get that algorithm. Get that algorithm. I'm going to be on Joe Rogan next week.
You want that in your life?
No.
Not to say anything. I'm not throwing shade at Joe Rogan, but people that go on Joe Rogan or support him end up getting shade thrown at them.
Yeah.
It's like one of those weird things.
Listen, we're on the up and up. We don't need that kind of heat.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, Dolly Parton sweatshirt confirmed today. Track list has been released for the new Beyonce album. There is a track called Jolene.
Is it featuring Dolly?
It has Dolly P on there also.
Duetting?
We don't know yet. It comes out on Friday.
I've heard about that.
29th.
I've heard that rumor too.
Yep.
Wow.
It's no longer a rumor. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Stuff.
Yep. Very exciting.
Ah, power of manifestation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So it's a whole new album for Bay, right?
It's Act Two of Renaissance Cult.
Act Two.
Yeah, so it's Cowboy Carter is the album name.
All right.
Yep.
Oh, took Sean's name there.
Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, that is
Well, they had a whole album called The Carters. She's Beyonce Knowles Carter, so she's been a Carter.
They have an album called The Carters.
For some reason,
yeah,
I thought
two of them. Yeah,
I kind of thought her
album.
Name may her last name was Beyonce there for a second. There.
First,
like,
middle, and last.
Beyonce. Shit.
That's I love. Actually, since you mentioned two names, like the new Beetlejuice coming out. It's called Beetlejuice.
I can't wait.
Because
I'm
it's
very excited.
The second Beetlejuice, so it's two times, but. When everybody automatically says the third time, we all conjure Beetlejuice.
I love that.
I haven't seen the preview, but it supposedly looks pretty good. But you guys aren't apprehensive about kind of shit like this. There's hollow ground. Not for me.
Michael Keaton's coming back. Yeah. So I trust that.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, I mean, if they redid fucking Point Break like they did, it's like, you fuckers, like, what are you doing?
If they redid Point Break with, like, as a continuation of the story with the original cast or most of the original cast.
Oh yeah,
different.
That's a good point.
But like,
it's not like
they're redoing the old Beetlejuice.
That's a very good point.
It's like
actually.
A continuation of the story.
Yeah, it's like Beverly Hills Cop 4. It's gonna be flawless.
Yeah,
I'm
really
excited about that.
God, dude, I was talking to people at work the other day. Everyone shits on 3, and I don't.
That's
get
my favorite one.
Dude, I think that might be my favorite one.
Dude,
as well.
Wonder World.
I haven't seen any of them.
Okay, you're not missing much, but like,
they're entertaining. They're entertaining.
Yeah.
But the third one, I really like the third one.
Yeah,
you know?
In the fucking theme park, dude.
Yeah, man, where he's jumping from like thing to
jump,
thing.
Jumps,
you know?
From the dude.
And the cages and
we don't
the
see
kids
a gun. Who the fuck do you think I was shooting at? Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I do like.
Yeah,
that.
You should see. You should. Yeah, so much like the toaster go. 3-1-2
So stories aren't like if
you'll
I
figure
start
out he's a cop.
Yeah, well, yeah,
he's a cop.
I'll figure it out.
Oh wait, no, she should probably go chronological because Taggart.
Well, I mean,
I'm a smart person. I can, I probably can put two.
So
together,
okay, well, I'll just tell you. Spoiler alert: in 3, they replace the actor who plays Taggart with some guy. Playing not Taggart, but they replace him with Hector Elizondo.
Okay. But he's not playing Taggart's character.
No, he just plays Hector Elizondo. But or whatever.
Judge Reinhold's.
Got it.
He's the foil for Judge Reinhold. Judge
got
Reinhold
it.
Had Taggart in the first two movies. So when you go 3-1-2, you gotta go, you're gonna go Hector Elizondo, guy who played Taggart.
But Hector Elizondo does a good job. I think he supports
Hector Elizondo
Judge Reinhold
is,
pretty well.
Hector Elizondo is way underrated. I brought him up numerous times.
Oh, yeah. He's a great
actor.
He's
fucking great.
Yeah.
A lot of people go Edward James Olmos. No, not me. I'm a Hector Elizondo guy.
Hector over Edward. Huh? Yeah, all right.
Hashtag Team Elizondo.
All of our cadre fans are Googling Hector Elizondo
right
now.
They're like, him?
What's your favorite Hector Elizondo flick?
Oh, Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Okay, that one.
But yeah, I mean, he was fantastic in Exit to Eden.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, let's swing back to Exit to fucking Eden. Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell, bitch.
Rosie O'Donnell at S&M.
Yeah.
I named like the two movies he did in 1994. I can't
but,
name it.
You know, but there's a. He's been on a lot of movies, and I can see him
in different
characters.
I'm sure he was great
in
a couple episodes of L.A. Law.
Probably. Yeah. But there's a few actors like that that like had, you know, solid careers.
Oh, like
then.
Tom Wilkinson?
Well, you mentioned some of those actresses that like
Beth Grant. Beth Grant's been in fucking every movie we've ever seen.
Who the fuck is Beth Grant?
She's, look her up.
Sparkle.
I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion. She was the lady who got blown up on the bus in Speed.
Yep,
that totally. Couldn't wait.
Oh yeah,
she
I have to go.
Yeah. There's a show called Girls 5 Eva. It used to be on Peacock. It's now on Netflix. Yeah. It's a great fucking show. So basically, the premise is. A girls group that was popular in the early 2000s. All of the women are now in their 40s and they're trying to get the band back together. All
right.
But one episode where one of them runs into Richard Kind, and Richard Kind was like, yeah, I've made an entire career just like I can exist without being famous. Like I can go to the grocery store and not be bothered, but I've been in every fucking thing you've ever seen. And I was like, yeah, Richard Kind has been in everything.
Wow.
Kind has been a lot.
Yeah. What do you think about the new Golden Girls reboot?
It's not real.
Is it not real?
No, dude.
Yeah, I didn't
it's
think
clickbait.
That was...
clickbait.
So, fuck, I even researched that one. It was please don't tell me this is fake because I need this
fake.
In my life.
I mean, well, the thing is this happened with Hocus Pocus 2. There are images that pop up on Twitter or whatever that are like fan wishing things would happen.
Okay.
But then Hocus Pocus 2 did happen.
It actually happened,
so I feel like if enough people get amped up about this, they might be like, oh, there might be something there.
Okay, all right.
But... Did you do research then?
No, I did. I hit the first Google and it was like, hey, yes this is happening.
No.
I mean, it's not like something I'm like voting every time. On, so, you know, I did my due diligence as much as I could.
I would love, in reality, if that Lisa Kudrow, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, and Amy Poehler, would love that. Would love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I get just the addition of Lisa Kudrow in that was interesting.
Oh, such because, a good one.
Like, those as three Sophia, SNL no together less. And all that shit. Like, they've been doing their thing. But, Lisa Kudrow was, that's a good one.
Yeah, she's a groundlings, man. She can keep up with them.
Smelly cat. I've probably seen.
Have you ever seen The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow?
No.
That is some of her, that is her best, like, tour de force. It's an HBO show. There's two seasons.
I'm not talking shit about Kudrow, but I can't say I've really seen anything that I'd be like, oh, Kudrow.
Right. But this is her one thing where this is her
Romy and Michelle.
Other than Romy and Michelle, but, like, this was her, like, it's a very niche audience that it kind of went to, but it is the funniest, saddest, like, the work she does on that show is truly incredible. It makes me bum that we did not utilize Lisa Kudrow enough. The Comeback is a fucking insanely good show.
Cool.
It's so good.
Yeah, let's check that out.
Well, I got it. Have you ever seen that clip? No. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, it's from that.
Awesome. All right. Well, one of these days we'll get to your topics.
We have it as backup always, but I feel like our tangents have been going pretty well.
Tangents are great.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thanks for kicking in the office.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe our new little spot for a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Office.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Cowboy Carter. See Friday.
You next time. There you go. Peace.